1 John chapter 21 this morning. Let me get my walker around here so
if I walk around you can still hear me. Yeah, we're there. John chapter 21. Now this is, like I said, this is the second Sunday that I have been here. And the first time I ever came here was back in December and we talked about love and we talked about the greatest love ever given. Last week we talked about faith and this week we're talking about love again. Why? Well, why is that? Well, you know, there's that special day coming up on Saturday, especially for those of you who are married. Even if you're not married and you want to take your mom or your dad for a Valentine's Day, it's Valentine's Day. So in light of that, let me just share with you just a couple little thoughts here on that. I have found some Valentine's jokes and one-liners that Christians can understand. Okay, I know. This could be dad jokes, so just humor me, all right? So one of them is, I love you more than 2 Samuel 14, verse 26 says, Absalom loved his hair. So I love you more than Absalom loved his hair. I don't know. I'm looking at these for the first time just as much as you are, okay? I trust you even if you were walking on water. Now, I know. Nothing. I know. Crazy. Okay. Are you a Pharisee? Because you've got me following all the rules just to get to you. And then, here's some other cute and funny phrases here. You are my favorite gift from God. And that'd be to you and your spouse or even to your parents or whoever. We're a perfect pair, like faith and works. You're the root to my Boaz. I love you as an everlasting love and a little bit of chocolate. So it's you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. Let me share with you one other quick little thing. When I was in Pensacola Christian College, my English teacher, American lit teacher, we had his class on a Tuesday night from 7 to 9:45 at night. You think, how in the world do you stay in class that long? It was hard. So they gave us breaks. So that way we could actually tolerate being in the class for almost 3 hours in 1 week. So as we're in that class, it was the day before Valentine's Day. So it was Valentine's Day Eve. So the 13th. And so he legitimately stops the class halfway through and he brings out this flower and lights it up, this little toy flower, and then he just starts telling us Valentine's jokes, and he says, you'll always remember this moment for the rest of your life. Well, I still have, because I'm saying it out here today. But John chapter 21, though, the title of this message this morning is, Do You Really Love Me? And now today I want us to kind of think about, how much do we really love the Savior? As we go on in our lives, one word makes pretty much all the difference in the world. This world unites people, family, and churches together. And this word is love. You can't never exhaust how much God does love us. You could preach a whole year on the different aspects and how God loves you and I. But today, I want to help us to reinvigorate our love to God, which will result in other things on top of that. Because sometimes love dwindles at times with family and with God. So let's take a look. First, John chapter 21. As we open the Bible, we're opening up the mind of God. And understand, let's know that today as we look into these three verses here. We'll look at a couple others as we continue on. John chapter 21, verse 15 says this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love him. Love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Today I want us to understand really one point as we look at the message this morning, and it's this. Our love for God shows in the actions that we do. How much you love God shows in the way you act. Not only to the people around you, but to the people who may not even, you may not even notice, but they're looking at you. I'm sure this isn't a news flash to everybody, to anybody here at all, maybe even those viewing by way of live stream, but people who are not saved are looking at people like you and I who are saved. So they can see what is it different about us that they should have. And so I want us to kind of consider that this morning as we get into the message this morning. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together. We thank you for those who are here. We thankful for those who are viewing by way of video. And I pray that you just help us here this morning as we look into your word, that we can understand it. We can grow thereby. Help me as I preach. Help it to be clear. Help it to be simple. Help it to be easy to be understood. And just help it just to be only what you would have for us to hear this morning. And Father, if there's a soul in here who doesn't know who Jesus is as their Savior, that today they would understand that and know that blessed assurance that they can have today by simply repenting and believing in you. And Father, for those who do know you, may we be challenged here this morning, the preacher and those listening here and those on live, that we would just be challenged to love better than we have already. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, he asked this question to Peter, do you really love me? Now, as we get into this, Peter has just been, as soon as the crucifixion happened and everything goes on, he went back to just going in the boat and being a fisherman. And he was fishing. That's when Jesus catches him in the beginning of John chapter 21. And he's out there and he says, you know, try the other side. And he tries the other side and all the fish start coming in here. And then he brings them up and they eat, and that's when they come to this question, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, it may be a little difficult to see it within the English, but in the Greek, that term love, there is the agape love, which is a sacrificial love. Now, in the English, it would be a little difficult to decipher that because of the way this question is asked more than one time. But we'll see what it entails, okay? And Jesus asked with sincerity. He says, do you love me more than these? He's probably considering his fishing, the disciples, everything else around him. Do you love me more than you love the things you like to do? And so as he thinks of that, he's using that agapo form. It's a strong form of love. Or agape. Agapo is the action form of this word. To love dearly, sacrificial, well-pleased, or content. But when Peter replies back, he says here in verse 15, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now again, in the English here, it's a little different. Now the only way we can kind of tell this is the fact that we have the lovest and in the beginning when Jesus speaks, and then we have love here in this spot here. So there's a little bit of a difference here, but the Greek word that this translates this from is from the phileo form of love, which is a love that you'd have to a friend. Now, the love I have for my wife would be different than the love I'd have for some of you. Okay? Because I love her more. I married her almost 4 years ago and looking forward to many more years after that. But if I have a friend that I talk to on the phone, I'm not going to talk to him the same way or her the same way as I would speak to her. Okay? And I'm sure that's pretty elementary. But when he speaks here, Peter says, yeah, I love you. I love you as a brother. Which is a stark contrast to what Peter was like before him. You remember what Peter was like. He was the one who was willing to do anything for the Lord. He was going to die for the Lord. He would do anything. He makes these bold proclamations. And you know what Jesus says? After the time that I'm arrested, you're going to deny me 3 times. And what did he do? Oh, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. And then what does he do? Denies him 3 times. And you know what? Luke's gospel fits it here this way. Jesus looked back on him after that 3rd time, and Peter realized he had done it wrong. And he wept. I think this was in the forefront of Peter's mind when he is being asked this question. So, Peter seems to be hesitant. seems to be fearful. He doesn't want to give his full commitment that he had wrote, that he had boldly proclaimed right before he denied him. So let's finish that verse there. He, Jesus, saith unto him, feed my lambs. Feed, having an idea of this fodder to graze, to pasture, promote the spiritual welfare of the church, or to provide, or feed my followers. He says, okay, feed my people. You need to give them the word of God. But Matthew Henry also says this, you do not love me more than others. Jesus is not higher up on the totem pole like he used to be. He's kind of fitting in, or maybe he has sunk below the pleasures you have. Well, he asked him a second time, verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Same way, the agapao form of love. And Peter, he, verse 16, saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's the phileo love. Yeah, I'm fond of you. I mean, phileo, I'm sure we know a city like that today, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That's what they say it is, but I've visited there. I mean, you have your opinions, yay or nay. But he says, yeah, I love you, but it's a fond of love. It's not where it used to be yet. And then he saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he goes from lambs, and now he changes it to sheep. And now feed here is a little differently. It means to rule or to tend to as a shepherd. First, feed my lambs, you know, help them out, give them and guide them. But now, feed my sheep. He goes from lambs to sheep because sheep need a shepherd to guide them. And he's trying to tell Peter, you need to guide my flock. You need to love them. He's telling him to lead the sheep, which, you know, 50 days later he would. At the day of Pentecost when he would come, and we'll get to that in our study on Wednesday nights, and he becomes the first pastor of that church there in Jerusalem, and he's leading the flock of people there. But at that point, Peter wasn't ready. He needed to be strengthened. He needed to be reminded. And so, again, verse 17, he asked him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Jesus changes his verb this time. He says, are you fond of me now? He uses the phileo kind. And now he matches Peter's level. And notice what Peter says. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. So how many times is Jesus trying to make sure Peter actually loves him? Three. No, three is very significant. Sister Maggie over here the other week, how some things kind of lined up here. It's like 3 days after this, third. A lot of threes kind of lined up here. Three is a very significant number. 3 days from the death to the resurrection. And the three has a very significant number in Scripture. Maybe one day we'll go through all the study and all that. But he says here, do you love me? But he now brings it down to Peter's level. He wants Peter to really go full out. And as a believer, as a Christian, we should go full out. But sometimes we let things distract and it kind of pulls us away from that. And notice what Peter says here. And he said unto him, Lord, let's go to the middle of the verse. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter here was sorrowful. He was distressed. He was sad. And so what does Jesus tell him? Minister, learn from your lesson and now share that with other people. Learn what it's like to deny me, but then use it as a strengthener to preach me, to share me. I'm sure all of us in our lives at one point, we've maybe gone to that level where we're like, kind of contemplating it, or our love hasn't been as strong for the Savior as it was maybe when we were first saved, and maybe it's dwindled. And with that, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2 with me. We see that Peter had an evaluation on love, and it seems like he wasn't fully committed to his love toward Jesus as he originally had. So let's look at another group of people. First, he asks the question, do you really love me, to Peter? And that could be to an individual as you and I. Now he asks it to the church, to a collective group. So Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1 says this, "And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. I know thy works." This church worked. This church did things. They were active in thy labor and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. They were a church that served, and they did serve, and they were serving, and they did. They had patience. They rid the church of people who were preaching false doctrine, apostasy, all that. They didn't faint. They weren't weary or sick of serving the Lord. But there's a problem. Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." And what's the issue with this church? "Because thou hast left thy first love." What does that mean? Left means to send or go away. What's that idea behind? Well, it's almost like to give up or abandon. Or like a divorce between a wife or a husband, or husband and wife. They've literally detached themselves from Jesus. Why? Because they serve, and they forgot who they were serving. When we're here in church, that should be a challenge to us, that we should make sure that when we're here and we're serving and we're in the work of the Lord, that we don't forget the reason why we're serving. Because it can be very easy to do that. Very easy. Everybody gets that point in that problem. Even pastors, doesn't matter who it is, they can be so focused on doing, they forget to have that sweet fellowship and communion with the Savior who even got them there in the first place. So they took their eyes off the Savior. And first, Jesus was not first place in this church. It was their works. It's the things that they did. Oh, how can we do this? Oh, how can we do this? Oh, how can we do that? Well, the order should be, how do we honor the Lord? How should we pray and have the Lord bless? And then, yeah, we can do the programs and things that we can do to attract people to come in, but Jesus has to be number one. He cannot be number two, number three, number four. He can't be down on the list. He has to be number one in everything that we do. How's the Lord going to grow a church? We're faithful to him, and we have that sweet, blessed time with him, whatever time we can get in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. And yes, we have the programs. We have all the things that we can do to attract people in, but we need to have our eyes first on the Savior, because this is what we're doing it for. A church that doesn't have Jesus in first place is not going to be a church at all. It's going to be an entertainment hall. The church must turn back to him. There are churches today who do not preach the gospel, and they're entertainment driven. I mean, entertainment's good, but what's the focus of a church if it's not magnifying Jesus? Israel was warned but continued to abandon God, thus the punishments that were given to the nation. I mean, Israel, they lost their love for God, and what happened to them? They were taken control. The kingdom split, and then foreign nations came and took over. Why? Because they abandoned the Savior. America in general has turned back from God and needs to come back to him. We've kicked God out of almost everything we can think of. Our nation was founded as a nation under God. Just a couple hours east is Providence, Rhode Island. That's where one of the first Baptist church literally happened. And other churches sprung out. In the nation, 51 to 53 signers of the Declaration of Independence had a saving faith of Jesus. And the two who didn't at least respected it. Today, God's not respected. Kind of used as a swear word, as a curse word. It's not the way it has been, and it should be better than that. We must be very careful to serve and not forget the reason why we serve. It is not because it's a duty, it's because we loved him who first loved us. Christians are turning away from God and need to return back to him. Marriages can fail in the same vein when we stop loving the person. We just go robotic or just do things because it feels like a duty instead of doing this because we love the person we're with. If someone told you that marriage was easy, they're wrong. Okay? You learn. You work. You learn the person. I equated, I was told this a while ago, and it makes sense. It makes plenty of sense. Once you get married, you're back in school again. You go back to pre-K. You go back to kindergarten. And hopefully you eventually graduate out, which would be the time that death do you part. But for me, I think I'm probably at kindergarten right now. Maybe I'm stronger. Maybe might have graduated kindergarten. Maybe I'm in the first grade by now. I don't know. But I do know there's a long way to go. But I'm looking forward to the time that we have, that my wife and I have together. And this is a side note here, but this is one of the things with love and the Valentine's Day coming up this weekend. I've started a tradition with my daughters. I would take them on dates. So Thursday night, I'm going to take my oldest one out and I'm going to have a Valentine's Day with just me and my oldest girl. Now, where are we going to go? I have no idea. I still got to figure out the locations and places that are good here. And then Friday night, I'm going to do the same thing for my youngest daughter, Eliza. And then the main event, the main attraction would be my own wife on Saturday. Now, I know she's watching. I'm still planning it. But there will be a plan in place by Saturday. Why? Because the fact that when we got married, we pledge our love to each other, and we're not going to separate that. And when we are a Christian, we pledge that we love God so much that He saved us, and we need to continually build in our relationship toward Him. If marriage doesn't apply to you, whether you're widowed, single, or divorced, just also be careful in your relationship with the Lord. You too can get very distracted looking at trials and things of life, and be like a Peter who says one thing but meant the other instead. Let's look at the last verse there of Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. So, Jesus has asked the question now to Peter, to an individual, to the church. But now, how can we not fall into this trap of the fact that how much do we love our Savior? How do we kind of like turn it around? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to our last passage here this morning. John chapter 15. If you can turn back with me, John chapter 15, we'll wrap it up there this morning. John chapter 15. And let's look at finally the scope of our Christian love. So how do we love the Savior just as much as we ought to? Well, the answer is given to us right here. John chapter 15. So do you really love me is the question that's asked this morning. How much do you and I love our Savior? Is it as much as it says here in this passage? Let's look at verse number 9. John chapter 15 and verse number 9. As we pick it up, Jesus is teaching about being the true vine and abiding in Him. And Father loves us. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So He acknowledges the fact that God loves us. Jesus loves us. And because of both of that, what should you do? Continue. Ye continue in my love. Those viewing, continue in His love. Love is something continual. Those of you who are married, you know that all fair and well. You can't never get to a point where you just stop doing. Why? Because there's always something new you learn about it. And if you're not, well, you can still love your Savior. And you can continually do that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, sometimes it's better to be not married because then you can focus on the things of the Lord. When you're married, you have to kind of divide and conquer, in a sense. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to get married. I mean, see, that God does command that. I mean, it's the way you multiply and replenish the earth, you know? It happens. Okay? But He says here, continue in my love. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So how do we grow in our love toward the Savior? Keep His commandments. What's His commandments? Love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. How often do we love our neighbor like we love ourselves? Can that be difficult? Absolutely. You know, Jesus says to love your enemies. Whoa, wait, Jesus. What were you saying there in Matthew chapter 5? I should love the people who I hate? Yeah. Bless them who persecute you? Yeah. Why? You know, they hated him before they hated you. I mean, if you kind of think about the scope of it today, what group of people are the most persecuted? The Christian. Why? Because there's a risen Savior and they don't want to accept it. There's not really much persecution of other world religions out there. Their leaders are dead in the grave a long time. But why is the Christian faith persecuted? Because we have a risen Savior who's in the world today. And the Holy Spirit dwells within those who are saved. So verse 10 again. If you keep my commandments, so there's an if then clause. If you keep, then you will continue or abide in my love. Now, some people will take this as losing salvation. If you stop following Jesus Christ, then you're not saved at all. No, it's the fact that you're not going to be drawing closer to him. That's what the context is indicating here. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I mean, if Jesus didn't love his Father, would if Jesus have lost his place as God? No, he wouldn't have. But you know what? He's just setting an example for us that we should love others. The Father loves us. We love him because he first loved us. Being a Christian is to be like Christ. Jesus mentions here to be like him as he obeys the Father. But Jesus is perfect. Yes. So that's why we're like him. We can't be as him because we're not God. We're not the Son of God, but we can be like him. The term Christian literally means little Christ, Christ-like. Now, are we going to sin? Yes, it's going to happen. 1 John 2:2 tells us that. When you sin, you have an advocate. But don't just go out there and say, oh, I'm saved. I'm going to just jump in and do whatever I feel like. And I'm going to sin as much as I want. No, the Bible doesn't want us to do that. No, and that's how our relationship with God separates and grows further apart. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I've heard, there's a song, I don't know if it's in this hymn book, but it's a song called There's Joy in Serving Jesus. There's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that fills within my heart. You know when you're serving the Lord, there's going to be joy in your life. When you're not serving him, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be chastisement. There's going to be scourging, chastening. The more you separate from the Savior, the harder it's going to be. And the joy is lost. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So if the Bible says it's something we ought to do, we should do it. And what does it say? That ye love one another. Is there a choice to do that? No. This is my commandment. So if we want to follow Jesus, what do? We love one another. How so? As I have loved you. How has Jesus loved you and I? Oh, you know, so much that he died on the cross for you and I. He gave his life for us, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he should die, God's son should die to save a wretch like me, as one song says? What love divine. He gave his life for mine. That's how much he loves you and I. This can be hard to do, especially when Christians or non-Christians don't treat you the same. You know, it's a terrible thing when Christians treat other Christians terribly. Don't know why that's the case. I know it's human nature, but that's not the thing that should be within churches. Jesus was rejected multiple times, so don't be surprised if you love and care for others and they don't send it back in return. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than the fact that someone who's willing to go for someone else on their behalf. And let's wrap it up here. Verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. We should be a friend, stay faithful to Jesus, and as we discussed last Sunday, even when we slip, confess your fault and restore your relationship in quick order. So as we conclude, how do we answer the question, lovest thou me? How do you, how do I, how do those viewing answer the question, lovest thou me? Do you love him the way you should, the way you ought? With an agapo love, a sacrificial love, or with a phileo love? Yeah, I'm fond of him, but I'm still going to do whatever I want. Or have we lost it by being blind by our service and forgetting our love? Have we completely separated off because we're so focused on other things that we forget the Savior? May we love God with all of our heart, as the verse says in Mark 12, verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first command. We need to love others regardless of who they are. Jesus died for all. If you are not saved, Jesus loves you. He wants you to come to him, will you? For those of you who are saved, how much do you love him? We're going to have a time of invitation here after we pray. And if God's spoken to your heart, I would encourage you just use the time. We're going to have a little bit of music playing in the background. And the invitation is this. At the time where after the message is given, we get a chance just to commune with God through prayer. And we get a chance just to talk with him. Maybe just, you know, say, hey, I've fallen short here, or I've done whatever. And here I want to make a decision today to act upon what you put in the conviction that you've given to me in my heart. And that's that time. After I finish praying, I'll come up to the head of center aisle. And as that music plays, maybe you want someone to pray with. I'll be up front. I'll be willing to pray with you if you want to come and come to a row up closer. The camera stops about here, so no one's going to be looking at you. And even if they do, they're rejoicing with you. Maybe there's someone in here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you need to know that for sure. I invite you to come. And someone can share with you the Word of God, how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the time you've given to us, Father. We do thank you for the fact that you do love us, even though we don't deserve it. Father, I do pray that you just help us here as we come to this time of invitation, that we just be able, if you're moving in our hearts, that there's something that's convicting us right now, that as the music begins to play, that as they're there sitting in their pew, that they would just be able to come and pray with you and get that matter settled that you're pressing upon their heart this morning. Father, if there's someone in here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that's today. They would know that for sure, but they would know that heaven is their home. Father, I pray you just bless the move in this invitation time in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're going to go ahead and just play a simple song. If God's spoken to your heart, the invitation is that if you want someone to pray, I will come right down to the front. I'll pray with you. Or if you want to pray in your pew, you're more than welcome to do that. Or if you want to come up front and say, I'm going to make a decision today, come do that right now. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. Just have this time as the music plays just to talk with the Lord as the Lord has moved. Yes, I am. It is the Lord God to come. You're not saying what's holding you back. He loved me to show you what the difference is. A life-changing experience. You want someone to pray with you? I'm available up front. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Just speak to the Lord. This is that time. We'll let it play through one more time, then after that we'll close the service here.
Let's say that first verse, if we know that very well. I think we have another verse. I mean, let's say that first verse together after this is done, and then after that, we'll do the service this morning. Just as I am, without one plea. If you know, sing along with us. Just as I am, without one plea. We're going to end the service here this morning, but if God spoke in your heart, if you want someone to pray with, I'll be available. I'm right out the door before you go. If you want to stay in fellowship in the nice warm, go right on ahead. It's nice and chilly outside. So if you want to stay in fellowship for a while, you can. But if you need something, anything, I'll be willing to be available. If you want someone else to talk with you, that's more than welcome. If I can ask Brother Tom if he can come on up here. And he's going to close in a word of prayer. And then after that, we'll just play a song just for dismissal, just to have some sound coming out. Thankful for you to be here this morning. We'll meet back again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll be looking at the book of Acts. And then, again, starting next Sunday, we'll be doing our Sunday school at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like we've been doing 11 o'clock service, 6 o'clock in the evening, and then going right on. Brother Tom, if you can pray for us.